ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతిం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయేత్. నష్టప్రాయేషు భద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయ భగవతీరుత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్టికి. కృష్ణాయ వాసుదేవాయ దేవకీ నందనాయ చ నందగోపకుమారాయ గోవిందాయ నమో నమః. హరే కృష్ణ. వి ఆర్ రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం 9th canto, 3rd chapter, titled The Marriage of Sukanya and Chavanmuni. We'll be reading from text 23 onwards till 29th. So what's there in the board is the 29th verse. So we will chant, I'll chant 23rd onwards, and when we reach 29th, then we'll all chant together. శశంస పిత్రే తత్సర్వం వయో రూపావిక్లంబనం విస్మిత పరమ ప్రీతస్తనయాం పరిశశ్వజే. దస్ సుకన్యా ఎక్స్ప్లెయిన్డ్ హౌ హర్ హస్బెండ్ హ్యాడ్ రిసీవ్డ్ ద బ్యూటిఫుల్ బాడీ ఆఫ్ అ యంగ్ మ్యాన్. వెన్ ద కింగ్ హర్డ్ దిస్ హీ వాజ్ వెరీ సర్ప్రైజ్డ్ అండ్ ఇన్ గ్రేట్ ప్లెజర్ హీ ఎంబ్రేస్డ్ హిస్ బిలవడ్ డాటర్. టెక్స్ట్ 24. సోమేన యాజయన్ వీరం గ్రహం సోమస్య చాగ్రహీత్ అసోమ పౌరప్యశ్వినోశ్చవనస్వేన తేజస. చవన్ ముని బై హిస్ ఓన్ ప్రావెస్ ఎనేబుల్డ్ కింగ్ శర్యాతి టు పర్ఫార్మ్ ద సోమయజ్ఞ. ద ముని ఆఫర్డ్ అ ఫుల్ పాట్ ఆఫ్ సోమరస్ టు ద అశ్విని కుమారస్ ఆల్ దో దే వేర్ అన్ఫిట్ టు డ్రింక్. హంతుం తమ్మాద దేవజ్రం సద్యో మన్యుర్ అమర్షితః స వజ్రం స్తంభయామాస భుజం ఇంద్రస్య భార్గవః. కింగ్ ఇంద్ర బీయింగ్ పెర్టర్బ్డ్ అండ్ యాంగ్రీ వాంటెడ్ టు కిల్ చవన్ముని అండ్ దేర్ ఫోర్ హీ ఇంపెచ్యువస్లీ టుక్ అప్ హిస్ థండర్ బోల్ట్ బట్ చవన్ముని బై హిస్ పవర్స్ ప్యారలైజ్డ్ ఇంద్రాస్ ఆర్మ్ దట్ హెల్డ్ ద థండర్ బోల్ట్. అన్వజానంస్తతః సర్వే గ్రహం సోమస్య చాశ్వినోః బిషజావ్ ఇతి యత్పూర్వం సోమాహూత్యా బహిష్కృతౌ. ఆల్ దో ద అశ్విని కుమారాస్ వేర్ ఓన్లీ ఫిజిషియన్స్ అండ్ వేర్ దేర్ ఫోర్ ఎక్స్క్లూడెడ్ ఫ్రమ్ డ్రింకింగ్ సోమరస్ ఇన్ సాక్రిఫైసెస్, ద డెమిగాడ్స్ అగ్రీడ్ టు అలౌ దెమ్ హెన్స్ ఫార్వర్డ్ టు డ్రింక్ ఇట్. ఉత్న బర్హిరానర్తో భూరిషేణ ఇది త్రయ శర్యాతేరభవన్ పుత్రో ఆనర్తాద్రేవతోభవత్. కింగ్ షర్యాతి బిగాట్ 3 సన్స్ నేమ్డ్ ఉత్న బర్హి ఆనర్త అండ్ భూరిషేణ. ఫ్రమ్ ఆనర్త కేమ్ అ సన్ నేమ్డ్ రేవత. సోంత సముద్రే నగరీం వినిర్మాయ కుశస్థలీం ఆస్తితో భుంక్త విషయాన్ ఆనర్తాది నరిందమ తస్య పుత్రశతం జ్ఞే కకుద్మీ జ్యేష్టముత్తమం. ఓ మహారాజ్ పరీక్షిత్, సబ్డ్యూర్ ఆఫ్ ఎనిమీస్, దిస్ రేవత కన్స్ట్రక్టెడ్ అ కింగ్డమ్ నోన్ అస్ కుశస్థలి ఇన్ ది డెప్స్ ఆఫ్ ది ఓషన్. దేర్ హీ లివ్డ్ అండ్ రూల్డ్ సచ్ ట్రాక్స్ ఆఫ్ ల్యాండ్ యాజ్ ఆనర్త ఎక్సెట్రా. హీ హ్యాడ్ 100 వెరీ నైస్ సన్స్ ఆఫ్ హూమ్ ద ఎల్డెస్ట్ వాస్ కకుద్మి. So now we are going to chant the 29th verse which is on the board. So you can repeat after me. Kakudmi revatim kanyam swamadaya vibhumgatah putryavaram pariprashtum brahmalokam apavritam. Kakudmi, King Kakudmi. రేవతీం నేమ్డ్ రేవతి. కన్యాం the daughter of Kakudmi. Swam, his own. Adaya, taking. Vibhum, before Lord Brahma. Gataha, he went. Putryaha, of his daughter. Varam, a husband. Pariprashtum, to inquire about. Brahmalokam, Brahmaloka. Apavritam, transcendental to the three qualities. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Taking his own daughter Revati, Kakudmi went to Lord Brahma in Brahmaloka, which is transcendental to the three modes of material nature, and inquired about a husband for her. Purport. It appears that Brahmaloka, the abode of Lord Brahma, is also transcendental above the three modes of material nature. Apavritam. Purport ends. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Gurupada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Taptakanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. I'll read the translation again. Taking his own daughter Revati, Kakudmi went to Lord Brahma in Brahmaloka, which is transcendental to the three modes of material nature, and inquired about a husband for her. Hare Krishna. I want to thank all of you for assembling here for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam class. I also would like to seek blessings from all the assembled Vaishnavas so that I could speak something for my own purification, and that could also be beneficial for the assembled Vaishnavas. So today we will discuss a few themes. Something related to the purport we will start with, and then maybe something related to the pastime that we have been discussing for the last few days. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, it appears that Brahmaloka, the abode of Lord Brahma, is also transcendental above the three modes of material nature, apavritam. So Srila Vishnachakavi Thakur, in his commentary, he writes that the Brahmaloka is above Rajas and Tamas. That is how he explains apavritam. So whether it is transcendental to the three modes or two modes, or whether it is both, or how do we understand this, we will try to understand this subject matter a little bit. We'll discuss on this. So modes, if you say that a particular planetary system is beyond the three modes, then there are two possibilities. Either the planet itself is beyond three modes, which we have to understand what it means, or the residents of the planet are beyond three modes, which also we have to understand what it means. So in what sense is Brahmaloka addressed here to be beyond three modes or two modes. We will try to examine from some references from Srimad Bhagavatam only. So first let's try to understand if the residents of Brahmaloka are beyond three modes. So in the fourth canto, 24th chapter, in Rudra Geet, where Lord Shiva is teaching the Prachetas about the prayers unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he actually offers this prayer. He says, Swadharma Nishta Shatajanma Bippuman Virinchitameti Tataparam Himam Avyakritam Bhagavatota Vaishnavam Padam Yataham Vibhuda Kalatyaye. He says that Swadharma Nishta Shatajanma Bippuman, who is qualified to go to Brahmaloka, not only go to Brahmaloka, but accept the post of Lord Brahma there. He says, Swadharma Nishta Shatajanma Bippuman. If a person perfectly practices his Swadharma, his Varnashram Dharma, for 100 lifetimes, he says, Virinchitameti. Virinchi is Brahma. Virinchitam means the post of Brahma. So he can attain the post of Brahma. Tata Param Himam. Lord Shiva says, if you perform more pious activities, you can come to the abode of Lord Shiva, Kailash, he says. So apparently, one class of personalities who actually go to Brahmaloka, it seems like they go to Brahmaloka on the merit of their piety. So piety is generally within the three modes. So, but he contrasts it with those personalities who go to Vaikuntha, the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He says, Avyakritam Bhagavatota Vaishnavam Padam Yataham Vibhuda Kalatye. He says that, but the abode of Vaikuntha is not like this Brahmaloka or Kailash, but it is beyond. It is actually transcendental, he says. So he says, even we demigods, Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, we aspire to go to this planet. Okay. So, it's quite clear, at least from this one verse, that at least some of the personalities who go there on the merit of their karma are beyond, are not actually beyond the three modes. In the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, also, there is a mention of a different category of people also who qualify themselves to go to Brahmaloka. So this is described in the second chapter of second canto, where they practice a kind of practice which is called as Krama Mukti. Krama Mukti means gradual liberation. So gradual liberation means where instead of giving their subtle body at once, they give up their subtle body gradually when they go from one planetary system to the other planetary system. In that, it is mentioned that the 13th planetary system that they reach is actually Brahmaloka. And when they reach that Brahmaloka, it's not that they are completely, shed their subtle body. But having said that, these personalities do not reach there purely on the strength of their karma also. It is mentioned that Natam Gatim Karmabir Apnuvanti Vidya Tapo Yoga Samadhi Bhajam. It is mentioned about these personalities that Tam Gatim, they don't attain these planetary systems including Brahmaloka, Karmabir Apnuvanti, purely on the strength of their karma. Then how do they go there? Vidya, Tapo, Yoga, Samadhi, Bhajam. It is mentioned that they also practice some element, some kind of, they practice their Varnashram Dharma. So there is some element of piety also. But apart from that, they also practice some Bhakti, Yoga and Jnana also. Vidya, Tapo, Yoga, Samadhi, Bhajam. So even these personalities cannot be accepted to be beyond the three modes, transcendental to the three modes, because further description, the verses ahead in this section describe how they start giving up the remaining of their subtle body, which is material, when they pass through the seven layers surrounding the universe. So therefore, either the personalities including Brahma who may reach this planet on the strength of their karma or on the strength of their spiritual practices, from these discussions it doesn't seem like they are actually transcendental to the three modes. Of course, there could be pure devotees in Brahmaloka also who are considered to be transcendental to the three modes. But having said that, it is not always necessary. In the Kapila Dev, in the third canto, 32nd chapter, in his instructions to his mother Devahuti, he indicates that sometimes Brahmaji at the end of his lifetime does not automatically is guaranteed liberation. If he has not perfected his practice of pure devotional service, then he actually goes inside the body of Mahavishnu at the time of dissolution, and again at the time of creation he takes birth again in this material world. So therefore, one thing that we can understand is that at least the residents of Brahmaloka are not transcendental to the three modes. Not necessarily transcendental to the three modes. There could be some pure devotees also. Like for example, the current Brahmaji who is ruling is Sampradaya Acharya. He is a pure devotee. But he is not sitting there as Brahmaji on the strength of being a pure devotee alone. There could be, these are posts which require some amount of piety to occupy. But it is not necessary that they need to be pure devotees. Like for example, the current personality who is occupying the post of Indra is Purandara. And based on some of the pastimes, it's quite clear, Acharya has also explained, that this he must be a mixed devotee. But then in the next Manvantara, the post of Indra will be occupied by Bali Maharaj, who is actually a pure devotee, perfected pure devotee. So therefore, it is not necessary. So these posts, the qualifications for these posts is not necessarily that one has to be pure devotees who are transcendental to the three modes. But there is some element of piety and some other considerations are there. So at least from these references, it is quite clear that the residents are not necessarily transcendental to the three modes. So now we have to understand, is the abode itself transcendental to the three modes? That needs to be examined. So in the second canto, 9th chapter, when the four Kumaras, Brahmaji reaches Vaikuntha, the Supreme Lord gives him the darshan of Mahavaikuntha Dham, Lord Narayan. So just before his conversation with Lord Narayan, there is a description of the Vaikuntha planet, where it is mentioned, Pravartate yatra rajastamastayoho sattvam cha mishram nachakala vikrama nayatra maya kimutapare harer anuvrata yatra sura asura architaha. The abode is described in this way, which means that pravartate yatra rajastamastayo sattvam cha mishram. It is mentioned that in the Vaikuntha there is no influence of rajas, tamas and sattva. So now in the commentary to that particular verse, Srila Vishnachakrita Gur mentions what it means to be transcendental to sattva, rajas and tamas. He says transcendental to rajogun means Vaikuntha is not created. There is no creation involved. And transcendental to tamas means there is no destruction. Vaikuntha is not destroyed. And transcendental to sattva means Vaikuntha needs no maintenance. But still, Lakshmi Sahasra Shata Sambrama Sevyamanam. They roam around with brooms in their hands, but trying to attract the mercy and benevolence of Krishna. But just because they may try to clean Vaikuntha does not mean it needs any such kind of maintenance. But having said that, Brahmaloka does not fall in that category, because we all know that at the end of Brahmaji's lifetime, Brahmaloka is destroyed. And during the time of next subsequent creation, Brahmaloka is created again. So you can't exactly say that the planet also is beyond the three modes from that particular understanding. So having said that, you might be wondering, am I just trying to refute what Prabhupada has written here in this purport, that it appears that Brahmaloka, the abode of Lord Brahma, is also transcendental above the three modes of material nature, apavritam. No, because many times these terminologies are used in a not so absolute sense also. Sometimes these terminologies are used in a relative sense. Like for example, let's take the word anartha nivritti. So anartha nivritti means destruction of anarthas. But after the stage of anartha nivritti comes nishta, then ruchi, then asakti, bhava, prema. It's not that at the stage of nishta there are no anarthas left. So in it, and it's not even at the stage of bhava, it is mentioned that there are some very faint traces of anarthas that could be present. So therefore, Shri Vishnu Chakradhar in his book Madhurya Kadambini, he explains that anartha nivritti here means prayiki, almost destroyed. It's not complete. So he explains that the destruction of anarthas is at different levels. He says, ekadesha vartini, bahudesha vartini, prayiki, purna and atyantika. Like that he describes five levels of destruction of anarthas. And he explains that these anarthas after the anartha nivritti stage are prayiki, almost gone. So even though the terminology itself seems to suggest that after anartha nivritti there must not be any anarthas, but it is not used in such an absolute sense. It is used in a relative sense. That's why Bhagavatam says, Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati ruttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. He says at the stage of nishta, Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu, almost all the anarthas are gone, but it is not completely gone. So therefore, in the same way, if you see in the abode of Brahmaloka, even though it is mentioned that it is transcendental to the three modes, it is used in a very relative sense. Like for example, this Brahmaloka is described in the second chapter of second canto, where it is mentioned, Nayatra shoko na jara na mrityur nartir na chodvega rite kutaschit. Like that it is mentioned. In this abode, Nayatra shoko, there is no lamentation. Na jara, no old age. Na mrityu, there is no death. Na aartihi, there is no anxiety. Na cha udvega rite kuchaschit, and there is no any kind of fear. But this is also stated in a very relative way, because the Shastric injunctions mention that abrahma bona lokan punaravartino arjuna. It is not guaranteed that those who go to Brahmaloka, they may not die in Brahmaloka, but after leaving Brahmaloka they will enter the cycle of birth and death. And the word death is defined as giving up one's gross body. If you accept that definition of death, the residents of Brahmaloka do give up their gross body and enter into the body of Mahavishnu, and at the time of creation they do come back to accept another gross body. just some 311 trillion years separate the leaving of one gross body and accepting another gross body. But tata dehantara prapti, the dehantara prapti is there. So therefore, and if you say that in Brahmaloka there is no anxiety, fear, Brahmaji himself mentions in the third canto, ninth chapter, in one of his prayers, but he says, Yasmad bibemi ahamapi dviparadha dishnyam adhyasita sakala loka namaskritam yat tepe tapo bahusavo avarurut samanas tasmai namo bhagavate adhimakaya tubhyam. He says that in his prayer to the Supreme Lord, my dear Lord, I used to be very much afraid of this time. I used to be very anxious. Dviparardha dishnyam adhyasitopi. Even though I am situated in a planet where my lifespan is 311 trillion years, but still I was afraid of time. And in order to overcome this fear of time, I used to perform lot of sacrifices, but still I could not overcome. And later, understanding that bhakti is the only means of overcoming the influence of time, I surrendered to your lotus feet. Like that Brahmaji shares. So it is not necessary that there is no element of fear also. So these terminologies are also used in a relative sense. They are not used in an absolute sense. In an absolute sense, only Vaikuntha is free of anxiety. And so therefore, in conclusion, I just wanted to indicate that neither are the residents of Brahmaloka beyond three modes, nor is the abode itself beyond three modes in one sense, but the influence of the modes is very much subdued. So sometimes in our normal usage also, we may say that, oh Prabhuji, today there was a very sattvic food, like it happened recently. So Prabhuji, this is too much sattvic for us. And then there was one Russian devotee who was sitting next to me, and he said, Prabhuji, there is some green chili here, you see, you know. So that one small piece of green chili also, you know, it was not acceptable, you know. It made that whole preparation rajasic for him. Whereas another person felt, oh Prabhuji, it is actually very sattvic, too sattvic for me, I can't eat like this. So therefore, many times in our day-to-day usage also, we use terms in a very relative sense and not so absolute sense. So in the scriptures also, many times terminologies are used only in a relative sense and not necessarily in an absolute sense. So that is the way in which this one line purport, in my understanding, should be understood based on the other references from Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay, so one more topic that I wanted to discuss about is the episode of Sukanya and marrying Chavan Muni. In one sense, like an unfortunate episode, you may say, or a fortunate episode. It turned out to be quite fortunate, but it started out being a very unfortunate episode. So Maharaj Shariyati along with Sukanya, they go to the forest, and Sukanya, unable to control her urge, curiosity, went to she saw an ant hill in which she saw two glowing objects. Thinking them to be glowworms, she picked up a thorn and pricked both of them. But unfortunately, it was Chavan Muni who was sitting inside and performing a long tapasya, and an ant hill had formed around his body. So what she was seeing as two glowworms were actually his eyes. So immediately the reaction was felt. The whole army, they could not pass stool or urine. They became constipated. and immediately they understood that there was something wrong. And Sukanya accepted that yes, I made a mistake, because as soon as she pricked it, blood was oozing out of that the ice, and eventually they realized it was Chavan Muni, and then the whole episode unfolded. We know the story, you have heard it. So here I just wanted to comment on this one point, that she could have resisted her urge even if they were glowworms, let's say. It is not appropriate to poke and pierce glowworms also. So in one sense she must have known, of course she was a very young girl, small girl, she must have known that it is inappropriate, but somehow the childish curiosity and urge pushed her to poke. So similarly, in our practice of Krishna consciousness also, as Srila Rupa Goswami mentions, we may be poked or pushed by the six urges, as Rupa Goswami mentions in the first verse of Upadeshamrit. He says six kinds of urges: vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jihva vegam, udaropastha vegam. Etan veganyo vishaheta dira sarvan api mam prativimscha sishyat. He says, if you want to become a Jagadguru like Srila Prabhupada, then all you need to do is these six things. Just control the six urges. When you get an urge to speak, don't speak. When you get an urge to taste something wonderful, don't taste. If you get the urge of the belly, genitals, don't respond. Just follow these six things and you can make disciples all over the world. But it may seem like easy, but when we start practicing, we know how difficult it is. It is not very easy at all. The urges pull us in all kinds of directions. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his book called Bhaktyaloka, gives a very interesting insight into this verse. He says that these six urges are conditional urges. Conditional urges means urges which are born out of our conditioning, because of our past experience of enjoying those particular objects. And then he says, this conditional urge also means that right now, many of you might be feeling little hungry, because very soon it's time for prasadam. But after honoring prasadam, say at 9:45, 10 o'clock, none of us might feel hungry, because it's a conditional urge. Similarly, the urge to speak. No one wants to speak 24 hours. But at some points, there is a certain urge that we want to speak. The urge to taste is also conditional. Like for example, after having a good hearty meal, I always get a craving to eat some sweet. But once I eat a piece of sweet, that craving subdues. There is no more craving. So like that, these are conditional urges. So when the Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, when this urge comes, don't ask how do I curb it. He says you can curb it only if you have an inner constitution that is conducive to say no to this urge. So a conditional urge can be addressed only when we have a constitution, inner constitution, that is suitable to saying no to that urge. So he says, for example, the place where I stay, Govardhan Eco Village, it's a place which is highly endemic to malaria. So almost every time before the monsoon season, the health department, they give instructions to the residents. They say, stay hydrated and don't eat anything that will constipate you. I'm sorry, I'm having to repeat this twice in this class. So because you stay constipated, it increases the bile, and one becomes more prone to the attack of the female anopheles, the malarial mosquito. And then there are certain medicines which actually increase the internal immunity. So those medicines are kept, and devotees are reminded every day, once you take this medicine, like that. So, and also take proper rest at night, because if you are not rested properly, again it reduces the immune system, and you are prone to getting malaria if the female anopheles bites you. So let's say if a person does not use mosquito net at night, he has very unregulated sleeping habits, always stays constipated, and does not eat any medicine. So after the mosquito bites him, if he asks, how do I escape malaria? It's not that it's impossible, but it's next to impossible actually. It's very difficult, because you have not worked to develop an immune system that is capable of resisting the malarial parasite. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, how do you develop the inner constitution that is capable of saying no to these six urges? He says, this is what the rest of the Nectar of Instruction describes. So he says, the second and third verses of Nectar of Instruction describe what is a lifestyle that is conducive to develop this inner constitution. He says, on a daily basis, try to cultivate to avoid these six things and cultivate to develop these six qualities. Like for example, atyahara. I will take few examples, I can't take everything. Atyahara means overeating or over accumulating. He says, when he gets an opportunity to eat, if he ends up overeating, then the next time when the urge to eat comes, he is less immune to say no. So how do you develop an immune system? So whenever the opportunity to eat is there, then yukta ahara viharascha yukta cheshtasya karmasu. Be moderate, mitabuk. So if you practice eating moderately, whenever the opportunity to eat is there, then the next time when the urge to eat comes very strongly on the day of Ekadashi or Janmashtami, then we will be able to resist. Then he says, let's say prajalpa. So he says prajalpa, whenever there is an opportunity to speak, try to avoid speaking non-Krishna conscious topics. Reading, hearing, anything. But if a person throughout the day is absorbed in reading news and WhatsApp messages and so many other things, and then he expects that when the urge to speak comes, I'll be able to say no, then Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, no, it's not possible. Because you don't have an inner constitution that is capable of resisting it. Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Bhakti Aloka writes that for a practicing devotee, this is in the 1800s, he writes, for a practicing devotee to read newspaper is a colossal waste of time, and it deviates him from the ultimate goal of Krishna consciousness. For your information, during the days of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, there was one newspaper in the whole of Bengal. There was no internet. And that one newspaper was Amrita Bazar Patrika. And the editor, the chief editor of Amrita Bazar Patrika, Shishir Kumar Ghosh, was almost like a disciple of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And in Amrita Bazar Patrika, he used to write the lecture excerpts of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the traveling itinerary of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the various instructions given by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. These all used to appear in the newspaper, Amrita Bazar Patrika. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says for a practicing devotee to read newspaper is a colossal waste of time, he says, and it completely deviates him from his goal of attaining Krishna's lotus feet. So now, if we fast forward, let's say if this was in 1860-1870, we have passed through about 150 years later. 150 years later, what is the situation now? In this age of smartphones, practically most of the times we are glued to it, and most of what we read is probably not Krishna conscious. So therefore, if one is spending all his time in this way and hopes that when the urge to speak comes, he will refrain, it is not possible. And so on, like that he describes about the six things to be avoided and the six things to be cultivated. Utsahan, Nishchayat, Dairyat. He says about Nishchaya. He says, whenever a doubt comes, get it clarified and remove it. Otherwise, it will build up and one will become a habitual cynic. He will become a samshayatma. As Krishna says, Agnyascha ashraddhanascha samshayatma vinashyati. Nayam lokostinaparo nasukam samshayatmanah. It is not possible for a habitual cynic to be happy. And he can never make others happy also. He is miserable and in his association everyone is miserable. So he says that get these doubts away. And he gives systematic ways of how you can remove the doubts. So like that. So these six things to be avoided and six things to be cultivated. He says that this helps one develop a strong immune system which can resist the six urges. But having said that, to practice this 6 + 6 = 12 is not possible alone. We need association for it. So how do you develop such an association? He says, do these six things. Dadati, pratigrinnati, guyyamakyati pruchati, bungte bojayate cheva, shadvidam priti lakshanam. So share, give some gifts to someone, accept some gifts. Feed them prasadam, accept prasadam from them. And reveal your heart in confidence to them and also hear from them with empathy. So them means whom? With whom should these six exchanges be cultivated? He says, with three kinds of devotees. Krishneti yasya giritam manasadriyeta dikshasti chet pranatibhischa bhajantamisham shushrushaya bhajana vigyam ananya manya nindadi shunya hridam ipsita sangalabdhya. He says, if you have the association of a devotee who has not even a trace of desire to criticize others, if you have the association of a devotee who is an expert in the science of Bhakti Yoga, then not only take his association, sincerely hear from him and serve him and engage in the six exchanges with that person. But if you do not have the association of such a person, then at least do you have a person who has qualified himself to receive Diksha. Dikshasti chet. Then offer obeisances to such a person, take his association and have these six exchanges with him. If you do not have even that kind of association, he says, do you at least have the association of a person who is willing to practice Krishna consciousness? Fine. Take his association, share, have these six exchanges with him and increase your preeti, affection. So as in the fourth canto it is mentioned, gunadikam mudam lipset anukrosham gunadamad maitrim samanad anvichen natapair abhibhoyate. When you see a person who is more qualified than you, be happy and receive, take his association, serve him and receive the good instructions. anukrosham gunadamat. But if you see a person who may not be as qualified as you, be very nice to him, be compassionate to him, give your association through these six exchanges. Maitrim samanad anvichen. And if you see an equal, develop deep affectionate friendship with that person and have these six exchanges. Natapairabhibhuyate. You will not be distressed in Krishna consciousness, he says. But having said that, he says that there is an obstacle when you take shelter of devotees' association. He says that drishtair swabhava janitair vapushascha doshair na prakritatvam iha bhakta janasya pashyed gangam baso nakalu budbuda fena pankair brahma dravatvam apagacchati neera dharmair. He says that when you meet devotees, when you want to associate with devotees, their deep affection for Krishna may not be immediately visible, but their conditionings will be immediately visible for you. Learn to separate the person from his conditionings. His conditionings do not constitute the person. What constitutes that person is his Shraddha. But his conditioning is different from his Shraddha. He says, Drishtair Swabhava Janitair Dosha. When you see a person troubled by his conditionings, try to look past it, he says. In fact, Rupa Goswami says, Na prakritatvam iha bhakta janasya pashyet. Don't even see it as material. Why? Because he has accepted the right process to overcome it. As Krishna says, Shipram bhavati dharmatma sashvat shantim nigacchati Kaunteya pratijanehi name bhakta pranashyati. He says, I have taken responsibility for this person. I will ensure that very soon he becomes dharmatma. That is the guarantee that Krishna gives. So if Krishna's guarantee is not sufficient for us, then whose guarantee will we agree? So therefore he says, when you see a person and you get affected by his conditioning, learn to separate it from his personality. Gangam baso nakalu budbuda fena pankair. The brahma dravatvam apagacchati na neera dharmair. During the monsoon season, either Yamuna or Ganga, I was taking darshan of Yamuna few days back, the water was literally brown in color only due to monsoon everywhere. He says, even though the water of Ganga or Yamuna may be muddy, filled with bubbles, but their ability to purify is not compromised because of these external impurities. Similarly, when a devotee is troubled by his past conditionings, his ability to purify your association is not compromised. But this tendency is very deep rooted to never go past the conditioning. It's very deep rooted. Like, I'll give you an example that one of our devotees, Tulsi Priya Prabhu, he is the one who is organizing, you know, the Haribol products and, you know, trying to deliver to devotees, you know, as far as possible, organic, fresh produce. So, some devotees approached him and he said, Prabhuji, you are selling so many things for devotees, you should also bottle Ganga Jal or Yamuna Jal and, you know, distributed because it's not available in places like Mumbai or other places. He said, well, no problem. So should I just bottle the water and then just distribute? So they said, no Prabhuji, you take it, distill it, remove all the impurities and then bottle the distilled water of Ganga or Yamuna and then give it to us. We don't want that muddy water. We know that even though it may be muddy, it has the capacity to purify. But the conditioning is so strong, our own, that we are not willing to go past other people's conditioning. That we have to see as our own conditioning and try to remove it. Rupa Goswami very rightly identifies, if you want to take the benefit of a devotee's association, you better learn this art of seeing past the conditionings of other devotees. So if we are successful in taking association and not getting bothered by the conditioning of other devotees, then he says, so what do you do in that such association? He says, bhajana kriya. He says, but in bhajana kriya there is one obstacle, one very prominent obstacle that we may face when we are trying to practice devotional service, chant and hear. What is that obstacle? He says, syat krishna nama charitadi sitapya vidya pittopatapta rasanasyana rochikanu kintu adarad anudinam kalusaiva jushta swadvi kramad bhavati tadgada moolahantri. He says that the main obstacle in bhajana kriya is to expect ruchi before nishta. He says, we think the day I get taste for chanting, nobody can stop me from chanting. But till then, don't force me. We may feel like that. I am just waiting for that day when the taste will come. Then you will see 24 hours I will be chanting. Till then, sometimes I may chant 16, sometimes I may not. So don't bother me. We may feel like that. Or sometimes we may feel that I may not chant quality rounds. Quality rounds will come after taste. But till then, I will do sightseeing and chant and things like that. But Rupa Goswami says, no. Syat krishna nama charitadi sitapya vidya pittopatapta rasanasya rochikanu. For a person whose tongue has been jaundiced, afflicted by the jaundice of avidya, material taste, he cannot taste the true taste of Krishna's name, form, qualities, pastimes, etc. He says, kintu, but adarad anudinam kalusaiva jishta. If that person with great respect and regularity continues to take that medicine, swadvi kramad bhavati, gradually one gains that taste. So Rupa Goswami says, this is the biggest obstacle. Don't wait for taste. You have to earn it, he says. How do you earn it? Adarad anudinam kalusaiva jushta. With relentless regularity and great respect, we have to follow the process. What is the meaning of respect? Scrutinizingly try to avoid the 10 offenses. When we try to do that, then gradually we will start relishing the taste. Swadvi kramad bhavati. And then finally in the 8th verse he says, okay, now that you are experiencing some taste, fine tune it. He says, how do you fine tune? Tan nama rupa charitadi sukirtananu smrityor kramena rasana manasi niyojya tishtan vraje tad anuraga jananugami kalam nayet tadakilam iti upadesha saram. He says the essence of all advice is tan nama rupa charitadi sukirtananu smrityor kramena rasana. He says, first engage your senses and gradually engage your mind also in this process. Nama rupa charita adi and so on. And then tishtan vraje, endeavor to stay in Vrindavan, he says. And tad anuraga jananugami, and try to follow in the footsteps of the Vrajavasis like Srila Prabhupada. Iti akilam kalam nayed, one who spends all his time in this way. Iti upadesha saram, this is the essence of all advice. When one reaches this stage, then automatically vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jihva vegam, udara upastha vegam, he's gone. Etan veganyo vishaheta, he is able to tolerate. He is not even thinking of tolerating because he is absorbed elsewhere. And then you say, Prabhu, you have rightly qualified yourself to become the Jagat Guru now. He says, not interested, Prabhu, please don't disturb me. I am absorbed in the lotus feet of Radha Shyam Sundar, he says. Tad anuraga jananugami, and I am absorbed in serving Srila Prabhupada's mission. So I am not interested in all these things. So like that, Rupa Goswami, even though presents a very lofty principle in the first verse, helps us understand step by step how do we develop this inner constitution that is suitable to resist the conditional urges which may manifest at different points of one's life. These are some thoughts. I wanted to discuss few more things, but it's already 9 o'clock. So thank you very much for your patient listening. If there are any quick comments, corrections, maybe 1 minute, is it okay, please? So we can take. Mataji, can you keep?
Four different thoughts. In the morning, the Narayan Maharaj just recites Baba, Baba. But most of the devotees go to Vrindavan. They go there to listen to the Baba.
Okay. So, I mean, if I understand the question right, Ruji, would you like to paraphrase the question? I don't know. I mean, if I understood it right, it seems like some devotees may go to some Babaji's and try to hear. So, is that right, Mataji? So, what is the understanding? So, in one way it is very unfortunate that we are not able to give such a loving, satisfying association that they are seeking elsewhere. It is inappropriate, but we are also responsible. So unless we take responsibility and just keep on criticizing, it is not going to give any solution actually. In my opinion, unless we can give that loving, affectionate, Sajatiya Ashe Snigde Sadhu Sangha Swatovare, Rupa Goswami indicates what is a fulfilling association, Vaishnava association. He says Sajatiya Ashe, like minded, Snigde, affectionate, Sadhu Sangha, it may be like minded, affectionate, non Sadhu Sangha also, but he says it must be Sadhu Sangha. And Swatovare, Swatovare means two things. One is more elevated than one's own devotional development, and the second understanding is it must be mutually elevating. When we come together, both the devotees after their meeting must feel surcharged in Krishna consciousness by experiencing the Krishna consciousness and the affection of the other devotee. So if we can give that kind of, if we can be that kind of an association to someone, then we will never feel the need to criticize anyone for going and seeking shelter elsewhere. So yeah, it's a very valid point that Mataji brought, but I think it's time to introspect ourselves that are we acting as a proper association that can inspire devotees and keep them satisfied under Prabhupada's lotus feet. I think it's time to deeply introspect on this subject matter, I would say.
Yesterday, you said we have to surrender to Krishna. So when we are surrendering to Krishna, and still our mind is everything here and there. So what is the meaning of surrendering to Krishna?
So as Rupa Goswami says, that Tan nama rupa charitadi sukirtananu smrityo rase smrityor kramena rasana manasi niyoje. He says, first engage your senses, then the mind will get engaged. So, because the senses are the gateways to accumulating newer and newer impressions on which the mind, which is like a fly, would go and sit. If all the impressions that we are collecting through our senses are material sense gratificatory impressions, then it is very unreasonable to expect that our mind will go and sit on Krishna's lotus feet. So therefore he says that whether the mind is engaged or not, first try to engage the senses. And this is the teaching of Krishna also in Bhagavad Gita. In many places he indicates that first the mind should be, first the senses should be engaged, then the mind will engage. And once the mind engages, then automatically the senses will be pulled. But the initial endeavor should be to engage the senses. That is first. Like for example, I mean, nowadays we have like tap water, but if you have seen hand pumps, you know, so hand pumps, like sometimes if it has not been used for a long time, it, you know, it develops some air pockets. So unless you relieve those air pockets, how much ever you pump, water will not come. So what do people do to remove those air pockets? They first pour some water. So once they pour that water and that air pocket is relieved, then when you pump, the pump gives out water. So similarly, initially the senses have to be, it is our endeavor to regulate and engage the senses in Krishna's service. Once the senses are regularly engaged, then automatically mind becomes engaged. When mind becomes engaged, it keeps pulling the senses. So like that. So when the mind is not engaged, then we have to see, at least are our senses constantly engaged in Krishna's service. Like that.
How we should use the cell phones with smartphones with internet? Because so many devotees are using, and it's not wrong to use something for Krishna's service, but some tips like.
Okay. So the question is, how do we, in this age of smartphones with internet facility, how do we free ourselves? How do we liberate ourselves? So the point is, Rupa Goswami does mention the principle of Yukta Vairagya in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, but he gives a very clear-cut definition of what Yukta Vairagya is. He mentions three principles. Anasaktasya vishayan. First thing, you should not be attached to it. Yatarham upayunjataha. It should be used only as it is meant to be used. And how is it meant to be used? Nirbandha Krishna sambandhe. Persistently, you should be able to use it only in Krishna's service. Then that object is meant for Yukta Vairagya for that person. But if one is not able to persistently use it in Krishna's service, then not that that object is not fit to be used in Yukta Vairagya, but the person is not fit yet to use it in Krishna's service. Someone else can use, and he can use many other things, you know, for which he may be able to utilize in Krishna's service persistently. So therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in one of his books, he simplifies this principle of Yukta Vairagya, and he says, you ask these three questions to yourself to determine whether this particular object is fit for Yukta Vairagya or not. The first question he says is, do you really need it? If yes, then he says, are you using it only to the extent it needs to be used? And third, he says, is it enhancing your Krishna consciousness? Is it making you more Krishna conscious? If the answer is yes for all these three questions, he says, that object is meant for you to be utilized in Krishna's service in the form of Yukta Vairagya. So therefore, it is an individual thing. We cannot universally declare that no one is supposed to use a smartphone or everyone is supposed to use a smartphone, it is Yukta Vairagya. Because the principle of Yukta Vairagya is very individual. As Prabhupada writes in one of his purports in the fourth canto, he says, unless you can see that particular object as being, as having utility only in Krishna's service, you have to differentiate between matter and spirit. For Krishna, everything is spirit. But for devotees, if you see that particular object has utility apart from Krishna, in my own sense gratification also, and I am not capable of stopping it, then we have to see it as matter only. For us, for me it is matter, but for him it is spirit. Like that. So this principle is very subjective, and it's not objective actually. So thank you all very much for your patient hearing, and please bless me so that I can follow at least few of these principles that I have spoken, and kindly excuse me if I spoke too harshly. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki.